So we're continuing to look at John chapter 3 in our Christmas series that's a little bit different, not usually a passage we look at Christmas time. I want to read that for you. Our verses for last week, this week, and next week are John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. So let's begin today by looking at that. John 3, 16 through 21, it says, "For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God." Now, if you remember, I wanted to do this because it's always been a passion of mine to truly understand the gravity of Christmas. I think so often we say things like, understand the meaning of Christmas, or why do we really celebrate Christmas? But I want to express it as the gravity of Christmas, the gravity of that moment when God stepped down and became a man. And so we began by looking at probably the most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. And last week, we spent that time talking about that verse because we said that's the gospel, all wrapped up in one verse. That's the gospel. And so as we come to Christmas, we have a tendency to talk about Jesus and his birth without talking about the gospel a lot of times. And so that's where we're going to go. Now, Naomi and I were talking this last week or two, because Naomi loves Christmas songs, absolutely loves them. And so every time we get in the car, she's like, "Hey, turn on the radio. Can we listen to Christmas songs?" And I have a little bit of a debate with her sometimes because I can't stand new Christmas songs. The ones that like talk about, you know, like going to the mall or how fun it is to look at Christmas lights or the ugly sweater competition at work. I don't like those kinds of songs. Now, I like the classics, you know, some Bing Crosby and some Nat King Cole, because I'm not a Scrooge. Everybody has to like those. But sometimes I get so upset because we have this opportunity at Christmas time to write and sing these songs that are just great songs of worship to our God. And you don't see that very often. I found a channel on my Amazon Music the other day. I like to listen to it in the garage while I'm working. And so I found a channel that was, you know, Christian Christmas songs. I was like, well, I'll give it a shot. But there were some amazing songs I hadn't heard before that are these beautiful worship songs based on this, on what we're celebrating today. And so that is what I want to do. I want to talk about the gospel. I want to talk about the gravity of this situation, the gravity of this day, this night, when God stepped down and became a man. So last week, as we looked at John 3:16, we said God loved the world. This is a godly love that hates sin. It's not a worldly love that turns a blind eye or accepts sin. And if you remember, we said that God loving the world is all-encompassing. It's everybody. And then we said he loves the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. It's truly a gift because we don't deserve it. There's no way that we've earned it. We can't pay it back. All we can do is receive that gift. And he gave his Son because that's the only way that we can be saved. And then we said, whoever believes in him, still all inclusive. This still includes everybody. No works, simply receiving the gift. It's believing in him. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you remember, we talked about God's mercy and his grace. We shall not perish, which means we don't get the punishment, the condemnation that our sins deserve. That's God's mercy. But instead, we have eternal life. We live with him in his kingdom and are called his children. That's God's grace. And that's why we love John 3:16. That's the gospel right there in those few words. But there's so much more in this passage than just John 3:16. And so that's where I want to go today. I want to look at the next two verses. I want to look at verses 17 and 18 today. So John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God." Let me pray for us as we begin. Father, I ask that you would take these words that so many of us have heard so many times, and you would open up a new depth, maybe a new other understanding to these things that maybe we've heard, these verses that maybe we've read, these verses that maybe we can quote, that, Lord, you would open up just the vastness of your word. We could read these verses every day for the rest of our lives and never comprehend how deep they truly are, never comprehend all that you mean in these words. But, Father, I ask today we would know a little bit more. Today we would know a little bit deeper understanding of your love for us, of our salvation in Jesus Christ, that we would know a little bit more, that we'd be a little bit closer to you. I ask that you open up our hearts and minds to hear this today. Bless our time. Be here with us. Bless us with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at verse 17. Jesus came to save and not to condemn. This is an important question for Christmas, right? If we're talking about this little baby being born in a manger, then we have to ask why. Why is he here? Why did he come? What was the purpose in all this? And I think sometimes, especially when it comes to Jesus, we have some confusing imagery, especially around Christmas time, because we sing about the Prince of Peace, right? And we sing about the fact that a Savior has been born. But you've probably read scriptures where Christ is sitting on his judgment seat, right? You've probably read scriptures where he's separating the sheep from the goats and casting the goats into the eternal fire. That doesn't sound like the Prince of Peace or the Savior. So there's this imagery we have about Christ that's so often conflicting. And so here we have Jesus clearly saying that he's not here to condemn, he's here to save. He explains this a little bit more in John chapter 12. If you turn over a few pages in your Bible to John chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, he says, explaining this a little further, he says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't receive my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything I have said. I know that his command is eternal life. So the things that I speak just as the Father has told me. Jesus speaks the words of the Father. He speaks on behalf of the Father. And the words that he's sharing here are the words that lead to eternal life. That's the message from God. That's the message from the Father that he's sharing. He's on a mission from God, and that mission is to save those who are perishing. That's what it tells us in John 3. That's what it tells us in John 12. So why do we think so often that he came to judge or he came to condemn? Well, the reason is because that's what Scripture tells us. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians, I want to share a couple verses with you. And I want you to see these in the Scripture. I want to take the time to actually look at these, hopefully in your Bible or on your phone, whatever you're doing this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." If you turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 17, we have another picture of this. A picture of the judgment, of the condemnation. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31. It says, "Because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed." Who is this man? "He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." He's going to judge the world, each and every one of us, in righteousness. And he's going to do it through Christ. And then we have that passage I already mentioned in Matthew chapter 25, where he puts before him the sheep and the goats, and he separates the sheep from the goats, and the goats he casts into the eternal fire. So as we read those scriptures that seem to conflict, I want you to remember this one thing. Hold on to this. Jesus came first to save, and he's coming back to judge. Jesus came first to save, and he's coming back to judge. Now, the other reason that we think about this condemnation is there's a personal side of this. There's a side that we feel that we haven't only read in Scripture, but there's a side of this that we feel. And what I mean by that is, whenever you're guilty, it's scary and convicting to see perfection. whenever you know that you're guilty, whenever you know that you're sinful, it's painful, it's condemning, it's convicting to stand in view of perfection, even on a personal level, even with one another. When you know you're living a sinful life, and you stand there and you look at someone who has a very close relationship with God, they're walking close with Christ, that's convicting, isn't it? And so we have that feeling. Sinful people would automatically feel condemned when standing in the presence of a perfect Christ. That's why I think in the gospel, there's so many different reactions to Jesus. Have you ever thought about that as you read through the gospels? All these different people approach Jesus, and some fall at his feet and worship him. Some challenge him. Some ask him questions. Some just leave life behind and follow him. Some want to kill him. There's all these different reactions to Jesus, and that's because all these sinful people all of a sudden are standing in the presence of a perfect Savior. And there's something in the very depths of us that doesn't know how to handle that. But Jesus, during this time, reassures these people that he is not here to condemn. That's not why he was born in the stable that night. That's not why he's walked on this earth. And that's not why he's going to the cross at the end of the story. And that's not why he's raised on the third day. He's here to save and not condemn. So often I think our relationship with Christ compares really well to our relationship with our children. And the picture I want to share with you today is you can imagine a child, a little child who's been told, you know, those little holes on the side of the wall that we plug stuff into, you stay away from those. You don't play with those. And so the little child, of course, does what? They go over and they start playing with the outlet, and mom or dad walks in, and what do they feel instantly? Convicted, fear, oh no, mom and dad is here. What does mom and dad see? A child who's in danger that needs to be saved, right? See, that's that picture. When we stand and we see Christ, we go, oh my gosh, I've been caught in my sinfulness. And what does Jesus see? There's my child, and I want to rescue you. I want to save you. This is how Christ deals with us. Jesus came to save and not condemn. And so, how does that work? That's what verse 18 tells us. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned. Notice a pattern here. Jesus really wants us to understand salvation, doesn't he? As he speaks these words, he gives us this, and then he's like, let me explain that further. Let me give you the opposite of that. Like, he just really wants us to grab a hold of this. All God requires is belief in Christ, acceptance of that gift. Jesus talks about that again in John chapter 6. One of the things I love about the book of John, and that's why we spent 3 years going through it. One of the things I love about the book of John is these beginning chapters just set the stage. It just so clearly explains Christ's mission, why he's here, and what salvation looks like. And in John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, someone comes to Jesus and they say, what can we do to perform the works of God? And here's Jesus' answer. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. This is the work. This is what you need to do. Jesus, what do we need to do? And he says, believe. That's what you need to do. They ask about the works of God, and how does he answer? With the work. Here's it. This is it. This is the one. They wanted to be justified by their works. And Christ says that all you can do is reach out and receive the gift. Now, in John chapter 5, you just look like one page over in your Bible, verse 24. Salvation comes at that moment that we believe. That's why that's the one and only work. In John 5, 24, it says, truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me, he has eternal life. And will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. He has eternal life, and he has passed from death to life. That has taken place. Listen to me carefully. Salvation from our condemnation comes only and instantly through belief in Jesus Christ. Salvation comes only and instantly through belief in Jesus Christ. So that's clearly the plan of salvation. That's the salvation that we're talking about. But there's another word that shows up a couple times in this passage, and it's condemnation. So what is it talking about? How does that work? What's this condemnation? The second half of verse 18, if we go back to John chapter 3, the second half of the verse says, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is an important overall idea. If you don't get anything else out of the sermon, maybe you should just write this one thing down. We are not condemned because of our unbelief. We are condemned because of our sinfulness. We are not condemned because of our unbelief. We are condemned because of our sinfulness. What I mean by that is belief in Christ is the only way out of this condemnation that we are already in. We're already in the condemnation. This word that shows up in John chapter 3, the judgment or the condemnation. I want to give you a Greek lesson this morning because this is one of my favorites. In English, we have three tenses, right? Past, present, and future. Hopefully we all know that. We have three tenses. In Greek, there's many, actually. And one of the most interesting is the perfect tense, which is what's used here. Now, that's kind of a rare tense in the Bible. You don't see it very often. The perfect tense is something that always has been, that is, and that always will be. It's basically our past, present, and future tense all wrapped up in one. And that's the word that's used here for judgment or for condemnation. We have been condemned. We are condemned, and we will be condemned. That's the judgment that he's talking about here. So Christ is, in effect, saying, I didn't come to condemn you. You're already there. I didn't come to condemn you. You're already there. I came to provide a way out. I came to provide a way out of that condemnation. It's an interesting phrase. How does he say we get out of this condemnation? To believe in his name, right? To believe in his name. Now, I could preach a whole sermon on that one phrase. So I'm going to do that now, and then we'll go back to this sermon, okay? Let me go real quickly through this, but it's such a great thing. Matthew 1:21. That's a Christmas passage. Let me read you Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's a Christmas verse, right? We've heard that one. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Who gave him that name? Was that Mary's decision? No. Who knows what Joseph had, right? Let's name him Carl. No, Jesus, because God said so. Jesus means deliverer. Rescuer, Savior. That's what that name means. It's not about believing that Jesus was his name. It's not saying, no, I think his name was Carl. That has nothing to do with it. It's about believing in that name, believing in that name. Now, if you look at Scripture, when Jesus, remember we said he's come to rescue, to save, and he's coming back to judge. If we look at those passages where it tells us about Jesus coming back to judge, it refers to him as the lamb that was slain, the one whom God anointed, the Christ, which means the anointed one, the Son of Man. But in those judgment passages, he's not called Jesus. When he comes back to judge, he's not called Jesus in those. You know why? Because Jesus means what? Savior. Savior. That's what it means by believe in his name. Not just believe that he was called Jesus, believe that he is the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer, the Rescuer. That's what it means to believe in his name. So we are already condemned. Rejecting Christ just keeps us there. We're already condemned. Rejecting the name of Christ just keeps us there. And that might, when we say it that way, it might seem like, well, then it's no big deal to reject Christ because it just keeps me where I already am. No, it's a big deal. Let me share with you Hebrews chapter 10, verses 28 through 31. This is serious stuff. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 28, it says, anyone who disregarded the law of Moses died without mercy based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's the Old Testament. How much more worse punishment do you think one will deserve who has trampled on the Son of God, who has regarded as profane the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know the one who has said, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We are condemned. God went to incredible lengths to free us from that condemnation. To reject this is to spit in the face of the incredible love that God has lavished on us. Does that make sense? You are condemned. Believing in Christ is the only way out of that condemnation. Rejecting Christ is to spit in the face of the love that God has so mercifully lavished on each and every one of us. That's what hangs in the balance in all this. That's the gravity of the little baby in the manger. We need to keep in mind the gravity of that night in the stable. Even though we stand, each and every one of us, guilty and stained in the presence of perfection, we don't have to fear his condemnation. We have to understand that we were condemned before he came. We know so many of those prophecies and those passages, right? Light stepped into a dark world. The world was dark. The world was condemned. And the light stepped into the darkness. His mission is one of salvation. He's here to rescue. Now, there will be a day where he returns to judge. That day is coming, you can guarantee. Mr. Bill said this morning to me, when God makes a promise, you know that promise is true. By the way, welcome back, Bill. It's good to have you here. Out of the hospital, feeling great. God did an awesome work in Bill.
And your prayers, all of your prayers. Yeah. God was there. I felt him. I felt your prayers. Thank you. God bless all of you.
Bill was praying with me before church, and he shared with me a scripture, and he said, this is a promise from God, so we know this is true. He has come, and his mission is to rescue. His mission is to save. But he has also promised that there will be a day where he comes back to judge. That's another promise that we have from God. And that will be a fearful and terrible day for those who have remained in their condemnation. However, there is no need to remain in that condemnation. It is a free gift. Remember, we talked about that, open to everyone. Whosoever believes, God loves the world so much that he sent his son. Simply reach out and take it. It is the free gift that has been offered. I want to remind you what we said last week. If I offer you a gift, when does it become your gift? When you take it. If you refuse it, it's not yours. If you try to pay me back or you've earned it, it's not a gift. And if I force it on you, it's not a gift. All you have to do is take hold of it. There is still time. He is still here to rescue and to save. I want to end with reading you one last passage from John chapter 11. Verses 25 through 26. It's when Martha comes to Jesus. And she's saddened about the death of her brother. She says, I know that Jesus says your brother will rise again. And she says, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection at the last day. And here's Jesus' answer to her. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Brothers and sisters, do you believe this? Amen. Amen. Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we live in a time and a place and a country where whether our community realizes it or not, the story of Jesus is everywhere right now. Thank you, Father, that we live in a time where we are surrounded by the story of the manger and God stepping down and becoming man. Lord, thank you that we are currently surrounded at a time where we as believers in Jesus Christ cannot forget what it is that he has done for us. Father, let us not waste this time. Lord, we have those in our life. Maybe they work with us. Maybe they live across the street. Maybe they're our family, the friends that we spend time with. And Father, we know you have promised that there will be a day that you separate the sheep from the goats. Father, we know that Christ, who came to save, is coming back to judge. Father, we know we have those in our lives who are still living in the condemnation that they've earned, that we've all earned. Father, let us take this opportunity. There is a baby in a manger on every street corner right now. Let us start there and share the gospel. Let us start there and tell everyone the good news of why, the gravity of the situation, why that baby came and who he grew up to be, and how we can be saved by believing in his name. Father, do that work in us. Give us a passion to do that. But Father, also work in the hearts of those people in our lives. We can't, it's not good enough just to go talk to them. We have to be praying for them, because your Holy Spirit has to work in their heart. We don't save anybody. We know that. So Father, we pray for those men and women in our lives. We pray that your Spirit would begin to work in their lives, begin to soften their hearts. And then Father, give us the privilege of being the ones to share the gospel with them, to see them come to salvation in you. Father, give us a heart for that. Father, we thank you for your incredible salvation in our lives. We know that as we live and believe in you, that we don't die. We don't die. There's going to be a moment where our body changes, but we will always be with you. We are seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms right now at this moment. So Father, we thank you that we can live our lives in power and strength without fear, and in service to you, because you have rescued us. You have saved us. You are Jesus. We love you.